Good morning. Good morning. Well, it's good to see you all here. Let's take our blue hymn book and turn to number 14. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4. We're going to sing that, "Come We That Love the Lord," and I invite you to stand, please. Good morning. I extend a warm welcome to all who have come together here today, you in this building, and you who participate using the video stream. At this point, I'll invite you to please stand and make eye contact and wave with at least one person. If you're in the front, you have to turn around. The other guys can just face forward. And if you want to, wave at the people who aren't really here, but sort of, and you can wave at Ike at the sound booth there. They're looking for a connection too, so I invite you to stand. We have gathered to worship the one God, the Creator, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you see God? Do you feel God? Do you believe in God? May the God, the only God, draw us all closer as God's family today. As we are beginning our time of worship, I want you to know that I'll be using the resources in the back of some of our hymn books that help us to deepen our worship today. This will mean some page turning, but we'll be patient and wait so that we can all read together. So let's gather ourselves together by singing and reading the stanzas from a song in the purple book. It's both an affirmation of faith and a prayer. It's number 53. And those of you who picked up a Voices Together, it will be number 27. It's 53. The title is "Here to the House of God We Come." It's by Shirley Arena, which I'm pretty sure is Spanish for Irene Murray. And let me say a couple of comments. Stanza 1 and 2 place us in a bigger picture, in a bigger context than just us gathered here today. Yes, we are here, but there is a world out there that is knocking at our door. In stanza 3, the author leads us in talking directly to God. But given stanzas 1 and 2, we now realize who we are. We are now a family, and our family members now include the dispossessed, the homeless, the frightened refugees, the children seeking safety and shelter. In stanza 4, We confess to God that we are all tenants of God's love. We're like the renters of God's love. It's entrusted to us. And we are asking God to shelter us, the whole family. We are now praying for all of God's children, whom we are learning to know and to love. So the plan is this, given that we can't always sing as much as we used to, like seven songs, that would be fun, but I've downgraded it. I will sing stanza one, just so we can hear the melody. Then we're going to, and we'll all sing stanza three. So singing is me in one and you in three, and we'll read two and four. Like Psalm 100 says, if you don't know the melody, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm a big fan of noise making when it comes to praising God. So, all right. If you're able and want to stand, we all sing first verse and then we'll read the second one together. Now I'll ask you to turn in the same book to number 161. It's in the back where the non-songs are. 161. So we'll wait till everybody's ready, more or less. And it's our call to worship God. And I think I'm going to read this one so you can follow along. If you are delighted to be here, and if you are tired or troubled, you are welcome. If your faith is strong, and if your faith is battered or frail, you are welcome. If you are eager to praise God, and if you need to be quiet, you are welcome. God welcomes us all to worship today and promises to meet us here. Let's take our blue book and we will turn to number 42. Number 42, all people that on earth do dwell. And the name of this one, if the melody underneath you can see, Old Hundredth. Which they didn't write Old Hundredth Psalm. It's really the Old Hundredth melody, but it's Psalm 100. And we're going to sing stanzas 1 and 2. And I'll invite you to stand, please. Few pages over, number 46, I sing the mighty power of God, stanzas 1 and 2. Let's move into a time of prayer with a prayer offering, a prayer of offering, and we find that in the blue book, not blue book, the purple one, 140. While you're turning, I can say, I never knew this section existed. Like when I was younger, I thought, what's this in the back here? It's like you're used to like alphabetical stuff. And no. It's like going to a new park or something, a national park you didn't know was there. Like, oh, look at that. You find all kinds of stuff. So this one here, 140, and you can join with the people and the all. But I mean, because I'm trying to speak so that whoever needs to hear can hear the whole thing. I'll be doing everything too, so. Okay, I'll start. Like the Magi of old, we bring our gifts to you, God, with us. They are not gold, nor frankincense, nor myrrh, but they declare our love and loyalty to you. We pray that all we have and do may be used for your service. Amen. As we continue our time of prayer, let us turn a few pages over to 164. And as we speak these words of prayer to God, we also remind ourselves who God is and how God cares for us. So I will start. God who hears what is too deep for words. Beneath all our prayers for healing, you perceive the buried hope. Behind all our questions, you understand the hidden longing. Amidst all our singing, you hear the struggle to pray. God, who hears what is too deep for words, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Amen. Now I'm going to sing two verses by myself of a song which we know, 347 in the Blue Book, through our fragmentary prayers. When we don't quite know how to pray, that's what this song makes me think about and what we just prayed to God. 347. Now we can join together and sing in the Blue Book, number 12. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Number 12 in the Blue Book. And I invite you to stand. Stanzas 1 and 2. Lois will now lead us as we share our community and individual concerns and reminders, and also as we pray together, please. Thank you.
I want to encourage every single one of you, you've only got a couple more weeks, to have the experience of wearing your mask and then coming up here and being able to take it off. It is such a relief. And I never really noticed it that much because I'm usually up here and then I'm, you know, constantly with it off. But to sit for the whole time, number one, on those hard benches as opposed to these nice soft red chairs and wearing the mask, wow, you guys are suffering down there. Suffering saints, that's what you are. And I wanted to mention something before I get into the rigmarole here. I did not put myself forward in Ken and Marion's Sunday and say, oh, but I am the pastor, I must do the praying here. I want to remind all of us that it's not only the pastor that prays. And I know that it is not only on Sunday mornings that we pray. This is the gathering time, and then we all go to our various prayer closets and pray through these same concerns that we're reminded of on a Sunday morning. That is my assurance. So if I am here as the reminder in chief, that's fine. I am happy to fulfill that role. And you probably have noticed already that we have gotten into the summer swing, where each person is invited to take a Sunday. You can choose a Sunday and say, I am going to plan what I like on a Sunday morning. I'm going to choose the songs that I want to sing, not what someone else tells me to sing. I'm going to use the scripture I like, and so forth. You're getting the idea, right? We've done this for a number of years, and last summer, we didn't get to do it. So maybe you have forgotten that this is what we do in summer. So we have gotten into that habit, and each Sunday you can come expecting novelty, not the same old humdrum Sunday after Sunday. That will come in fall. So anyway, thank you, Ken and Marion, for selecting this Sunday as yours. Thank you last Sunday, Hilda, for selecting that Sunday and that message brought. So now let's go into the bulletin. We are here to look at opportunities as well as the opportunity to share. And something that I neglected to mention last Sunday was that the sharing time, this is for those at home and for us, I guess, the sharing time is going to be muted. So if you feel awkward about saying things and thinking, oh, everybody out in internet land is going to hear me, I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to whatever, you don't need to worry about that because it's going to be muted. I think the video is still there, so they see that we're still, you know, actively worshiping, but what is said is not going to be projected. So that's a new aspect of our live streaming. And I think I just did that. So now whatever I say is already muted. Let's look at the bulletin for the opportunities that are here. Let's start at the bottom. Calling for volunteers for September. You know, this has been our habit. This has been our practice. And many, many of us here have been in the habit of delivering Meals on Wheels throughout the month of September. You can choose the week that suits your schedule, or you can choose a partner. So one person would be the driver and the other one the runner. You take the little meal and you go up to the person's home, you deliver it and you come back, and then the driver takes off. And I have to admit, it has become much easier. I've been doing it throughout this year because there were COVID restrictions on age, and I managed to just slip under that age barrier of 65. So I've been doing what you all have been doing for years, and now they give you the list on a piece of paper of where you're going to go next. So it's quite easy to go from number one to number two and number three. Before this, you always had to look at the bag and then discover, oh, now where am I going next? And dig through your container or box or whatever of the meals. And there's not that many. This is for those who have never done it. Sometimes I have delivered three meals, just three different spots. And the most I've ever delivered, I think, was 11, not up to 15. Doesn't even take 1 hour. And it is just a joyful experience, I have to tell you that. I just love it. I love driving, and it's just driving around town, right? You don't go any distance. So anyway, that is my encouragement to you. And, you know, there are things that you have to do. You have to sign, and there are some courses online that need to, you just read some things about how to stay safe. So if you are interested, or if you have done it before and would like to do it again, let us know at the office, and then we'll walk you through. We'll help you fill out everything that you need to fill out. So that's September, and it's not too early to say now already, I would like to participate. Go up from there. Bill C-15, remember we had been talking about this for a couple of weeks or months? And it did receive royal assent, and that happened on June 21st, which was National Indigenous Peoples Day. So we are grateful for that. This is just a very beginning step. Recognition of the UN document about Indigenous people and the way that we as people, our government also wants to move forward in reconciliation with Indigenous people. And since I am on that topic, a very, very difficult, let's look in the Pray For section. You see there, Cowessess First Nation. And even as we were singing some of these songs, my heart tugged again. It's a difficult thing. And this history that is not new, I read somewhere, this is not discovery. This is simply affirmation of fact and truth that has been known to many, and it is becoming known to all now. So let's not turn away, even though it is painful. Let's be open and ready to hear the stories of those who have suffered and who continue to suffer with this history and this past. I don't want to say too much, because saying more displays more ignorance. But I would encourage us all to keep ourselves open and ready to hear and learn and understand and be humble in the hearing. And if we want to have more conversations about this, please, I'm ready to entertain, you know, more conversations, discussion, learnings. You know, there's lots of books and articles that are coming out for our learning. I think learning is always a good thing. Also in the Pray For section, there's a reminder to keep praying for the church in Ethiopia. They are apparently having elections, and as we know, those elections don't always run smoothly. So let's continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we have sung, we now pray. The same things that we said in song, we want to somehow, by the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, pray to you, and being so grateful and so thankful that your Spirit does move more deeply than our voice, so deep where it's too deep for words. And that's not only sorrow, that's also joy. Sometimes we don't even know how to express so much gratitude. Like the song that we sung, we said, You created us even without any help from us. And we joyfully appreciate that. Thank you for all that you have done without any help from us. And that in the doing, we remember that you are love. Help us to keep looking at you, gazing at you, maybe in our prayer, just sitting silently, gazing at you, gazing at love, so that somehow, some way, this would transform us, that the things that we look on would become who we are. We pray in confession, admitting our sin, naming it as sin. This is unpopular, and it's difficult to say. We'd rather say we missed the boat, or missed the mark, or erred, or all of these things, which are true. But everything and every way that we turn away from you, even in turning towards our own independence, we name it as sin. Help us to continually turn back to you, to look to you again, and remember that we are being received by love. And on behalf of all of those who did commit things which shouldn't be committed, with attitudes, with hatred, with a desire to eliminate, we pray with lament, asking for forgiveness. All we can say is, Lord, have mercy. Help us to sit the way we heard the people of Nineveh did last week. That we hear the message, we don't resist, we don't deny, we simply put on sackcloth and sit in ashes. Sit maybe in silence with the knowledge and lament. This also is our offering to you, the offering of sorrow and pain, the way Jesus demonstrated to us when he was here, willing to become the man of sorrows. We stand together with Cowessess Nation, and we pray for them. We pray for our brothers and sisters. All of this humanity that is weeping and crying out to the Spirit of the living God, the land that is crying out, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for your mercy and your willingness to continue to hear our prayers. We pray for all of the other churches, not saying that's another denomination, it's not us. All of us, the united universal body of Christ, come before you, and we pray for all. We remember especially those in our city here. We pray for the Salvation Army and all of the work they do. We also remember Pleasant Point Mennonite Church and their new pastor, Len Rempel. Empower him. Give him the wisdom that he needs to lead your people. We pray for all here who are struggling with COVID, against COVID, those who have gone through it, and those, like all of us, who continue to live with the results of this pandemic. We are excited and we're thankful and we're grateful that you have heard our prayers, that you have given wisdom to the doctors and nurses, But we also remember that there are many who have not yet been able to receive health care, either nursing or going to hospitals, or even to have fresh water and soap to continue to clean their hands. We pray for those around the world who are still struggling against this. Help us not to forget them, to remember we are one humanity. And so we also pray for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia, in the church there, struggling with the struggles that they face that we can't even imagine. Strengthen them. Continue to build your church, because we see that your church continues to grow in the least likely places. And here where we are in a land of plenty, forgive us for turning away, for neglecting, for not being grateful for this amazing gift that you have given to us. Give us eyes to see our neighbors here, whether it's our neighbors right here in this congregation, this body, or in the streets, wherever we meet. Help us to exude who you are. This is our desire, so that you truly will be known. Not necessarily Mennonite, not necessarily Zion, but that you would be known and seen through everything we are and do and say. This is our deep desire. And so we also pray the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, I have two passages, short passages of scripture. By the way, Lois, those of us who work at school, put these things on in the morning. It's normal, it's part of life. I actually kind of enjoy walking around and seeing whose mask matches their outfit that day. I was very deliberate. This is my going to church mask that goes with my blue dress. One of those things that we've adapted to. So I'm going to read from Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. When we start thinking about passages in the Bible that include the word sing or singing, there's way too many. So these are two, and I'm sure you can probably think of 50 or 200 others that I've missed. But Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And the second one is from Colossians 3. This is one of the New Testament passages with singing that comes probably readily to mind. Chapter 3, and I'm beginning in verse 14 to verse 17. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay. So this morning, I'm going to present to you an idea that I had back in the fall when the Women in Mission were meeting and we were talking about what the theme of the programs would be for the year and who would be on, you know, which month. I had an idea almost right away. And then COVID got in the way, and because of school connections and so on, I didn't continue to go to Women in Mission. So I thought, well, I'm going to go with my original idea. I have it already. So I've called it Singing Our Faith. What it is kind of sharing my Christian life through hymnals. So the books, the hymnal song books that have been part of my faith journey, most particularly associated with Zion, because that's overall, that's where I have probably spent most of my life. My church life has been at Zion, which is, there's, you know, a section in between, but it's kind of an interesting thought. So that's what I'm going to do. These are all up front here. These are all the different hymnals that have been part of my life. Now, you probably have your own that have been part of your life that might not be up here represented. I know there are some, like the Black German Gesangbuch. I know of it, I've referred to it, I've sung from it. It hasn't been a core hymnal for me, but there are others. So I'm hoping as I tell my stories of connection that you will be able to come up with your own and that it can be meaningful to you in that way. So I'm going to try to have very brief little stories connected with these different hymnals. So here we go. I'll do this two at a time so there's not so much back and forth. The first one, the Blue Mennonite Hymnary. It was published in 1940. I don't really have any memories connected to this one. I was a child when we had it. It's probably the hymnal that I learned to read hymns. I can imagine probably standing beside my mom and opening the book, or my dad or my older brother, and their finger tracking along so I knew where to sing. That's kind of the extent of my connection with this one, because in 1969, this brown book was published, and I expect that, I don't, maybe some of you remember exact dates for some of these things, when Zion adopted and got this book, but I have a clear memory of this, of the ending part of the service, when we carried in the brown hymnals and put them in the benches and carried out the old blue ones. And my sister, this is kind of, I don't know if I'm using ironic the right way, my little sister was crying and sad that we were taking the blue books out. Usually it's the other way around. I'm the one who's crying and she's comforting me. So I remember saying to her, no, but it's like a pair of shoes. They're too small. You have to take them out of the closet and get new ones. So that's my first memory with this book. There are other things. This is the book where I learned to play hymns. Playing hymns is different than playing musical pieces on the piano. You have to read four things. It's just different. And I think probably one of the first I tried to learn was 529, Come We That Love the Lord, because it has marching to Zion. So again, I was probably pretty young because I thought that was really cool that this hymn had Zion in it. It's actually not even that easy to play. But the Zion congregation was the recipient of my attempts to play hymns, as I learned. And I remember coming, we always had Sunday evening services, and I would come to church, and someone would come up to me, often Frank Bergen or Pete Wientz, would say, "Oh, good, you're here. Will you play for us?" Sometimes I would get the phone call at home while we were still having FOSPA. And I was happy to play. The ones that were really hard was when there were favorites, because then if I didn't know it, it was interesting. And one of my colossal fails, that at least in my head, and this is, I was a teenager, and John Newfold was our youth pastor, and he was leading the service, and someone asked for "Come, Come, Ye Saints," which I did not know, and it alternates between 3-4 and 4-4. It has this funny little rhythm switch in it. I completely blew it. I don't know if does anybody remember being there, and I was probably way clearer in my memory. But what comes out of this for me is that I never, ever felt judged by the Zion people. I never went home after a service and said, "I am never doing that again." I cannot remember a single person ever making a negative comment about the way I played for the hymns. So thank you for that. It's a formative part of my life. What I found interesting is when I was preparing for this, and I got out the hymnal we have at home, the brown one, and I sat down, or I'm just flipping through it, and I'm thinking, I don't recognize most of these songs. Like, I've played through it for years. It was my hymnal at CMBC. It was the hymnal at seminary. And then when I came with Ken yesterday to get things set up, I sat down at the piano with the piano version, with the rings, and I opened it, and all of a sudden it was familiar. And I think it's because that's the book I played from, that's what I'm most familiar with. So the whole very powerful connection memories. Okay, that's the brown book. Okay. The other thing I found interesting is how often we refer to the books by their colors rather than by their names. And so this one has sometimes been called the red hymnal or the brown hymnal. Then we have, so at the same time that the Mennonite hymnal was in being used, and it also was significant because it was a joint collaboration between what was then the General Conference Mennonite Church and what we called the Old Mennonite Church. It was one of the major collaborations. So a very important step in our joint history. But there was also Sing and Rejoice. The church didn't buy in, I don't think we ever had them completely throughout the benches. There were enough for the choir, for the youth. This hymnal or this collection makes me think of my youth, of going to youth retreats. This is the one that I had a personal copy with, and at university in Regina, I remember sitting on my bed at the home of Joanne Rickert's parents, where I lived for almost 4 years, and with my ukulele, playing through it. And this is what I remember using. This is a youth connection. And the other one that we also had was Sing Alleluia, which I also don't have particularly strong memory connections with. I know we had it here. We used it for the singing. I'm thinking maybe we didn't live here for many of the years when this was being used more in the church. Or maybe I wasn't playing piano much then because I had little children. But there are songs in here that I'm sure would be a connection. Okay, so those are those. Then we have the hymnal, the blue hymnal, a worship book. And I brought my own copy from at home. This is the one that I know the best. We've been singing and working with this one for 30 years. It's the age of my children. And there are papers stacked in all over the place. The binding is loose. I don't think I've ever worn out. Well, we've worn out three or four of them at home. They all have, they're well used. This one has connection to Mary Oyer, who was a respected friend and professor at the seminary when we were there. And she was also my prof when I was at CMBC. And she was on the committee for this hymnal. And when we went back to seminary the summer after we graduated, we were visiting with her, and she was talking about this, and she said, "I'm happy with it." And so for me, that's, with her stamp of approval, I thought, okay, this will be a good collection. We used this at SCBI. It was new then, we were new, and we were discovering these songs together. At Zion, we have many years of leading congregational singing and choir and using this book. Personally, every morning, Ken and I sing a verse of two different hymns. We've been doing this for many, many years. We continue to discover new ones. You know, we come up with one and say, oh, that's a good one, or, oh, I've never sung that one before. And so we've been working this with so many years. And we know many of the songs by number. We can name that number, name that tune in three notes. This has the heart songs. Like this is the one that is, I feel, most closely connected with. Where we have traveled and lived, this hymnal has been there as well. And there's a great connection with that. Along with the blue hymnal, we have the green, Sing the Journey, and the purple, Sing the Story. These are supplement books that I think extended the life of the blue hymnal, because when people started to think, we could maybe do some refreshing of our collection, or there are some songs that are missing. Instead of creating an entirely new book, we got these books, which we have also continue to explore and discover, and again, still coming across songs and exploring the depths of those two, and many, many memories and connections to that. And also at the same time, we have the Mennonite World Conference book from the conference in Winnipeg in 1990. And there I have all kinds of visual memories as well, riding around Winnipeg with our tag because we got free bus rides for being Mennonite World Conference people. Peter was a baby, and so that was an interesting experience. And this book then, we had copies of it at the seminary at Hively Avenue Mennonite Church. That's where there was a song in here. It was printed upside down. And so when it was Easter song with that choir, we sang the upside down song. And so this is, a very clear connection for me with that particular congregation where we worshiped for 3 years in Elkhart. Our group in the middle, when we came then to Zion, this was our songbook, I think, pretty much almost exclusively. We gathered every Sunday morning. We sang and we shared, and we were church together. Downstairs in the Emmaus room after, and in the church library. So that's, and then also with the choir, we have also used it. So it's been significant for me in terms of a small group, care group sharing kind of a context. And then we now have the purple. This is a much purpler than the other purple book, Voices Together. This is a new book. This one doesn't stand open the way the others do. It's kind of, I'm not quite sure yet about this one. I haven't heard the Mary Oyer voice say, this is a good one. I'm going to have to hear other voices. I'm going to have to explore myself. I do have a sticky note in here already, though. And I have started making marks and writing. I'm gradually starting to make it mine. And we'll see where that goes. So after I explored, and it was really interesting to me to realize there are so many books that have been part of my life. What ties this all together? There are four things. First is community. Hymnals are important for singing in community. If singing together was not important, our denomination would not be investing time and money and effort and energy and conversation in what is going to be our book that we are going to sing from together. Which is, I found, a very interesting thought to singing. And Mary Oyer would talk about singing. The most powerful thing about singing is that we breathe together. The breathe and the spirit. So that's interesting to think about. So I'm connected to these books. I'm connected to us here. I'm connected to the broader Mennonite community through these books as we share them. I am connected to the broader world community. Through each book, there have been an increasing number of books from or songs from different Christian groups around the world. Not only do we share with an historical Christian community, these songs go way, way, way back, some of them. We go back on the timeline, but we also go broad in our world by singing with these songs. The second thing I noticed that there are gains and losses with each change. Each book kept some songs from the previous one. It left some out. It added new ones. And I think that's a reflection of our faith journeys. As we travel along, we become firmer in some beliefs. We question some and set them aside. We are open to new understandings. There are things that become more important to us and others that you think, I don't know about that anymore. And we let it go. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's very scary, and sometimes it's exciting. And I think that's kind of like opening a new hymnal. What lies ahead? The third one is that worship. I read the introductions in many of these books, which I'm guessing many people do not do. And there's some really very powerful thoughts in those introductions. Each committee is concerned with creating a book that will allow congregations to worship God meaningfully. The purpose of this book is to aid worship. And the hymnary, the oldest one, the writer there said, not every congregation will like and use all the new songs, but we have a variety so that every congregation can worship in song, so that everyone can find something that will help them worship. And that's the goal. How can we worship meaningfully together? And that's all the resources. And there's increasingly more written and spoken resources as part of the hymnal. And even the blue book being called a worship book. It was organized in such a way that it follows the acts of worship rather than topics. So it's not the God section, the Jesus section, the Spirit section, but it was, as we worship together, we gather, and then we praise God, and we pray, and we confess. And that hymnal reflects that emphasis on worship. So the church music is alive and it's changing so that worship expression can continue to be alive and responsive to the ways that people worship. And the fourth overall connection that I found is that the message doesn't change. We praise God the Creator in every book, who has been made known to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we are continuing to be sustained and guided through the Spirit. We seek to be followers of Jesus, sharing the good news of life and salvation to our neighbors and the world. And we do all this in the community of believers. And all of our hymnals and our songbooks are there to help us to do that. And there's one song that came to me one night as I was... Oh, that's the other thing. If you spend a lot of time with singing and music, all of a sudden you wake up and there is this song in your head. And this is one that I had. And I'm going to close with this because I think this kind of sums up. Number 27 in the Green Book, Sing the Journey. God of the Bible, God in the Gospel, hope seen in Jesus, hope yet to come. You are our center. Daylight or darkness, freedom or prison, you are our home. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God, always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God, always faithful, you do not change. So through all our different hymnals, God is still there. I'll do it. Okay, so should we, I'll read the benediction so you can stand, and then we will have our closing song. So please stand. Giver of song, we give thanks for songs that surround us in the dark of night, and for songs that waken us when morning breaks. Give us a song to all who need the comfort and reassurance of your presence, those in trouble or in pain, those overwhelmed by the demands of work, those struggling with addiction, and those whose past destroys their peace. Giver of song, sing through us and bring your world to joy and rest. Amen.
I invite you to take the blue book to sing praise to God who reigns above. It's number 59. Thank you, Marion, for your message for us today. Sing praise to God, and we will sing stanzas 1 and 4. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.